For those of you who don't know me, my name's Jim. I'm one of the elders here in the church, and I'll be teaching this morning. Pastor Kurt had an episode where he had a spasm in his back, and I have had back spasms, and let me tell you what, there is almost nothing that hurts so bad as to have a spasm in your back. And Kurt told me this morning that he would like for me to do the teaching because he said, I'm a little bit dopey today. Now, Kurt, I think I'm going to save that and keep it in my pocket. And later on, I'm going to pull it out and say, do you remember when you were a little bit dopey? You can do that too. But this morning, I would like to preach about believers have hope in Christ. And I won't be using that scripture, but believers have hope in Christ. That will be our main Bible truth this morning. When we teach and use a theme or main Bible truth, one important thing is to always clearly define what those words mean. And there's two big words in this one, believers and hope. So when I use the word believers, I'm referring to somebody who truly has saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody who actually, for real, does put their trust in Jesus. Now, this can be different than somebody who attends church. A lot of people attend church. It is my hope that everybody here today is or will become a believer, somebody who truly has faith in Christ. And hope. Believers have hope in Christ. Several of us on the missions committee are working on a Bible concordance for the Andersons, for their ministry. And it's a different language. It's Pular. And you find that when you translate one language to another, there's differences in meaning. English, I think, is one of the worst offenders in the meaning of the word changing over time. And I'm sure you can think of many examples today where when I was a kid in the 1950s, things that we would refer to today, it means something entirely different. And hope is one of those. Today, when we say hope, we're talking about wishful thinking. For instance, I could say, since we're near Pittsburgh, I hope that the Steelers defeat. Who are they playing? Anybody know? Who? See, there's our fan. I hope that the Steelers win over Indianapolis. That's wishful thinking. We hope that happens, but we are not sure. In the scripture, hope has a different meaning. Hope is an expectation of something that you are sure of. Hope is an assurance of something that is actually going to happen and is actually true, but hasn't happened yet. It's not wishful thinking. It's having confidence, solid confidence of a future event. I believe that this is the inerrant word of God, and I'm going to be using several scriptures. I would invite you, encourage you, threaten you to open up your scriptures, open up your Bibles with me, and read along. Make sure I get it right. If you don't have a Bible, there are some under the chair in front of you. And the first scriptures we're going to use to look at believers have hope in Christ is in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 5. Let me find it here. Romans chapter 5. This is a long letter, actually a book, written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome. Paul at this time was in Corinth, a city in Greece, and he wrote this long, 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 sometimes difficult to understand letter to the church in Rome, which is now in Italy. And he wrote it only about 25 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, around AD 58 is when we think this was written. And he writes this to them. This is Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. When we look at Scripture, of course, we want to define difficult words, but we also want to look at the structure of that Scripture. And here we have a sequence in the Scripture. It'll be 1, 2, 3, 4, leading through Scripture. Let me read this. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. And again, this is written for believers. This is not for unbelievers. This is just for believers. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in our hope, there's the word, hope of sharing the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our lives through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. So there is that sequence, and it starts with we believers have faith. So the starting point of Romans chapter 5 is faith, believer, trusting Jesus Christ, and it ends in hope through a sequence of about five or six things. In that sequence, this is in verse 3. More than that, we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character. Now, that is good character, okay? I know my mother always said, you're a character. This is good character, by the way. And character produces hope. Often in our life, we come through suffering. Pastor Kurt, yesterday afternoon, was not a very happy guy. He was in extreme pain. Suffering. We all are going to suffer one way or another. This world does not work the way God intended because of the sin of Adam and Eve. It just does not work. It rains too much. It's too hot. It's too cold. Our backs hurt, so forth. We all go through suffering. When we are undergoing suffering, we often have a fork in the road, a junction, and we can go one way or another. This is saying that when we suffer, it improves character, gives us endurance, makes us stronger. Unfortunately, many times when we run into suffering, it produces the wish for anger, revenge, I'm going to get back at that guy. Here, people who have faith, that suffering, which we're all going to go through, acts to give us good character, good endurance, and you end up with hope. And again, that hope is the assurance of something in the future. In this scripture, one thing that we don't see is our own effort, our own good works. Our own good works. It starts off with faith in Christ, access to grace. These are all gifts of God. It's not saying, as we often hear in America, when you go through something, you need to tough it out. You need to be strong. This is saying, no, we need to have faith. We need to rely on God. And that will give us this hope, this hope. Let's look at another scripture, again in the book of Romans. And it's Romans chapter 15, just a few more pages down. And this is a great, great scripture that I really love. It's Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Be careful, I might call on somebody to read it out loud. So hopefully everybody's there. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Paul writes, whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. There is that word. There is that word. Now, I'll ask a question and expect that somebody give me a loud answer. When it says the scriptures in this document that was written about AD 58, what was Paul talking about? What is the scriptures at that time?
Old Testament.
That's right. That the Old Testament, that gives us hope. So we have the blessing of not only having the Old Testament, but the New Testament. So our hope, our confidence in the future, our expectation, our assurance is found here also. It is found here also that the scriptures give us hope for the future. Hope for the future. Now, this doesn't mean that we have to be experts. I love to study the scripture. And there's so much truth in the scripture. But I've heard people say, well, I have trouble witnessing. I have trouble spreading the gospel because I don't know all that much about scripture. Well, I don't either. Okay? I've studied it for 74 years old, so I've been reading it for a long time. I still don't know it all. Nobody does. But you know enough. Every person who's a believer in Jesus Christ knows enough to share the gospel, share the hope, the encouragement of the scriptures. We believers might have hope, hope. Looking down at verse 13, this is in Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, another great scripture on hope. And it says, again, written to believers, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. That's an old scripture. I'm going to ask somebody to read that, verse 13,
Romans 15:13 in a different translation. Can somebody do that? Ben, go ahead.
May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Great. Would you read that again? I like that better. Go ahead. Great. My version says believe, and yours says trust in him. I like that better. I like that. Gives a good definition. And here we find that it is not only through the scripture, not only through our faith, but it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we may abound in hope or have a lot of hope. What's missing here, and I think it's correct that it's missing, whose power is it that gives us the hope? Whose power? The Holy Spirit. It doesn't say by my own effort, by my own power, I'm a strong guy. No, it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the power to have this hope. Faith now, the scripture, and the Holy Spirit, that is where our hope comes through, where our hope comes through. We'll look at another scripture. This is in the book of Colossians, about 20 pages further on, letter of Paul to the Colossians. This is the book of Colossians, to me, is one of my favorite books in Scripture. I love the book of Romans, but the book of Romans, sometimes I'm scratching my head. Paul, what do you mean? I don't understand this. But Colossians is simpler. I like it better. And again, this is written by Paul to a small town called Colossae. Colossae was a small town in the mountains of the country of Turkey. Today wasn't a big city, wasn't a powerful city. It was a small town. You know, think Ligonier or think Latrobe, small town. This is not New York City. This is just a little place. And he writes this, and in verse 5, it says of chapter 1, verse 5, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel. There's a lot in that little sentence. First of all, we have hope, that assurance of a future, and it's laid up for you, believers. Where is our hope? What does it say? Where is the hope? I'm deaf. Tell me. It's in heaven. Is our hope here on earth? No. Our hope is in heaven, and it's laid up for us. That laid up term means it is kept secure. It's not variable. It is there, and we can be sure of it in heaven, which you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel. In our small groups, we are studying the gospel. And here is that word. Gospel means the good news. As David was talking with our young VIPs, he's talking about telling people, telling your friends this truth, this gospel, this good news. So now we know our hope comes from faith. It comes from the scripture, or through the scripture, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's not here, it's in heaven. That's where our hope is. It's in heaven, not on earth. I like to teach on this. I often teach in the prison. And Paul was in prison at the time he wrote
his letter to the Colossians. And I like to tell the inmates, if you think the Bible was written by a bunch of really, really nice, soft-handed, gentle people who never did anything wrong, let me tell you what. This is a letter written by an inmate in prison. And that does get their attention. Get their attention. One last scripture on hope should be one that we have memorized. It's the same chapter of Colossians, and it's verse 27. If you have any scripture memorized other than John 3:16, try Colossians 1:27. It says, to them, them is us, by the way, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What a statement. Christ in you, the hope of glory. For a believer, our relationship with Jesus Christ is so close, so intimate, so important. We say Christ is in us. Christ is in us, and we have the hope of glory. Now, that is such a statement that it's almost embarrassing to say that. We always say glory to God. The angels, when they announced the birth of Jesus, glory to God in the highest. This is saying we have the hope of glory. That's almost arrogant to say that, but that's what Scripture says. We have the hope of glory when Christ returns. Believers will be with him in glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. To get a little bit technical, the word in, Christ in you, that actually in the Greek language, which the Bible is written, the New Testament is written in Greek, it's actually pronounced in Greek. It's in Greek, and it's in English. The Greek word is a non-specific preposition. You could translate that Christ with you, the hope of glory. Christ around you, the hope of glory. Christ beside you, the hope of glory. Or the best translation, I believe, is what we have, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's talking about that complete, intimate relationship that is so close, you're almost one. You're almost the same. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we'll have a test next Sunday. Everybody is going to memorize Colossians 1:27, which is just Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, we've been talking about believers. Believers have the hope. Hope comes through faith, through the Scriptures, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And our hope is in heaven. What about non-believers? Do they have that hope? They might have wishful thinking. I hope that when I die, I'll go to heaven and not go to hell. But they don't have the assurance. For a non-believer to have this hope, have the hope, absolute assurance, everybody, needs to become a believer. We need to put our trust in Jesus Christ in order to have this hope. And I would invite anybody here today who does not share that hope, today is the day. Trust Jesus. Put your hope in him, and you'll have this assurance. Now, I like to end teaching with a challenge. We should think about this
congregation as a military unit, and the commander has given you a command to go and do something. Just don't say, gee, that was nice. We need to go out of those doors and accomplish something and do something. And here is where that comes from. This is in the book of 1 Peter, probably another 20 pages toward the back of the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse 15. Of course, this was written by Peter, the apostle. Peter made a lot of mistakes as he was with Jesus, but he didn't make any mistakes when he wrote 1 Peter. 1 Peter is a great, great book to study, a great letter to study. And he wrote that to, again, believers. And here is the challenge. Here is the marching order. Verse 15 of 1 Peter chapter 3. In your hearts, reverence Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who calls you to account for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Let me read it again. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Ben, can you read that again? 1 Peter 3:15. You're a good reader. Thank you.
But do this with gentleness and respect.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, mine says account. Yours says answer. And I think that's probably better, give an answer. In our small groups, we're studying gospel. This is actually a command. This is an imperative. Always. That doesn't mean on Sunday. It means always. Every day, be prepared, be ready to give an answer for the hope, for that expectation that is in you. Here's where I fall down. Do it with gentleness and reverence. I think yours, Ben, said gentleness and respect, is it? Gentleness and respect. Sometimes I get harsh. Sometimes I get loud. But this is our marching orders as believers, to always, every day, every minute, be ready to give an answer for the hope that's in us, the hope of heaven, the hope of eternal life, the hope of being with Jesus. I hope to see my son again and my parents again. I have that hope. I have that assurance. And all believers have that hope. In our small groups, as we're studying the gospel, this is what we're doing. This is fulfilling the command that is in 1 Peter. Always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within you. And the excuse of, I don't know enough, forget that. Nobody knows enough. Nobody knows enough. But you know what is that hope is within you, and that hope is faith in Jesus Christ. So, brothers and sisters, keep that hope and keep it alive and always be ready to give an answer. Will you pray with me, please, this morning? Father God, we give you thanks for your scripture. We give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks for the power of the Holy Spirit. And we pray that the hope that is in every believer, that when this heart stops beating, is when I will start to live. I have that hope in heaven. And I pray that anyone here today who does not share that hope, today would be the day that you do receive God's gift of grace and have hope of eternal life in heaven. We pray this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.